This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
FPL has gone absolutely crazy. Bournemouth and Norwich kept a clean sheet. United got a point against Liverpool. Hudson-Odoi looks pretty damn sweet. Vardy cupped his ear at the travelling Burnley fans. Spurs looked lost yet again. Johnny Lundstrom has more points than TAA. Everton went from little boys to men against a distinctly poor West Ham. Danny Ings can surely finish. I've just realised I haven't done enough lines.
Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Please subscribe on your chosen podcast app.
The beautiful words of legendary poet Luke Turley there. Nice one for that again, mate. How have you been doing?
I've been good, mate. Apart from just FPL kind of ruining my weekend yet again, I think it's just gone from bad to worse. I think it's so unpredictable. Nothing's happening that I think is going to happen. Like, all my normal tactics of playing FPL seems to be going out the window. It's tough. What about you?
It's so annoying, mate. It's exactly the same. Like, my week is because we record this podcast on a Tuesday evening, we've then got the rest of the week just like waiting with bated breath for the Premier League to come around. And then as soon as those 3 o'clock games finish, my weekend's over. Like, I don't enjoy Sunday. Like, it's written off. I had an all right week in terms of fantasy football. I got some green arrows, but they could have been bigger green arrows, if you know what I mean. But yeah, climbed the league just a little bit. But yeah, mad weekend again in the Premier League. Like, so unpredictable. Manchester City, I thought they were going to put way more past Crystal Palace. Man United and Liverpool, I thought Liverpool were going to walk all over Man United. So you must have felt pretty pleased with yourself by the end of play Sunday.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was absolutely shocked at the performance. I thought United played really, really well, particularly that first half. Scott McTominay was running the show in midfield. Rashford and James were causing loads of problems. I actually thought the difference was, as we spoke about, getting one of our injured players back, Wan-Bissaka, I thought was superb. I mean, yeah, he made a mistake for the Liverpool goal, unfortunately. But whenever Robertson got that ball, even deep in his own half, Wan-Bissaka was right on him, attacking him. Yeah. And I thought that was such a good tactic from Ole. And it really gave me confidence for the next few weeks, because I think if we play like that, we could really climb the league a bit more.
It was just like the last 10 minutes, wasn't it, where Liverpool started to get more balls in the box, and that was ultimately, you know, what led to the equaliser in the end, which was quite unfortunate. But yeah, he had an absolute storming game. And like you say, Scott McTominay justifying that cover star role on Pro Evo 2020. Like, he's absolutely nailed on there. It was such a good performance. I was so surprised. He was probably the man of the match for Man United, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's disappointing in a way, because I think, why haven't we played like that this season? We certainly didn't play like that against Newcastle. It was one of the worst I've ever seen. We didn't play like that against West Ham. We haven't really played like that at all. I think that was our best performance this season. I mean, even the 4-0 against Chelsea was a little bit lucky. And yeah, I think they fully deserve the draw. I mean, again, like you say, the kind of last 15, 20 minutes, Liverpool really got it together. And I thought, oh, God, they could nick this. Yeah. And I'm glad they didn't. But the positive signs are there for United. So I feel a lot better about it.
I mean, that's what Caroline was saying last week, wasn't she? Like, it's the perfect game for Manchester United to bounce back and put in a performance. I mean, really, there was probably no stress on Manchester United, probably the first time in a long time between Manchester United and Liverpool, which I think allowed them to play their game a little bit more. Like, Rashford was having a pop at, like, Van Dijk and that sort of thing. And you need to have some confidence and some self-belief to be able to take on Van Dijk one-on-one. But yeah, I was actually impressed by Manchester United, something I've not said for a long, long time.
Yeah, yeah, they were great. Caroline called Rashford, didn't she? And he scored. So you've got to listen to our guests. I certainly didn't. But yeah, it was a great shout. And he suddenly looked a much better player. So what did you finish on? Take us through your game week very briefly. What did you finish on, and what's your rank, and who were your performers?
Yeah, so this week I got 40 points, but bear in mind that I played my wild card for this week, and I picked the team, which I said I would on the podcast last week. It's just annoying that we were saying this on our WhatsApp chat, weren't we, that we should probably, with this season being so unpredictable, just say how many players scored two to give you an idea of how average our week was. So I had Alexander-Arnold scored me 2 points. Soyuncu scored me 2 points. Mane scored me 2 points. Abraham scored me 2 points. And Callum Wilson scored me 2 points. The biggest scorer in my team was Hudson-Odoi. Got me 9. And Sergio Rico got me 8. So pretty pleased that those two came and delivered. Bournemouth getting their first clean sheet of the season. Perfect timing. Love that, Rico. So yeah, overall, I am up to 178, 131. So I've cracked that top 200,000. And now I think I'm right in saying I'm just 11 points behind background Ben. Just 11 points.
Yeah, still 11, Rich.
Slowly. Where have you dropped to then, mate?
It's not as bad as you think, actually. This is the second week I've scored below the average. But I'm overall 62,680.
It's still very good. It's still very good. I'll give you that. You're still more than 100,000 ahead of me.
Well, and it's all thanks to the powerhouse that is Sheffield United's John Lundstrom.
He's been one of the players of the season for FPL, like genuinely. Like, I can't believe it. I had him as my second sub. Absolutely gutted. Missed out on 6 points from there. But yeah, how did you get on, Luke? Good week?
No, not really. Lundstrom has got 3 more points than Alexander-Arnold this season. It's crazy, crazy times. Thankfully, he came off my bench for none other than Sergio Aguero, who's benched again. I mean, my great master plan of putting 3 City in on my wild card has kind of failed miserably, really, because Sterling, De Bruyne and Aguero haven't played, all 3 of them haven't started a game since my wild card. So I've really got some decisions to make there. Jesus seems like the favourite option at the moment, but I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see who Pep starts tonight in the Champions League. So if he starts Aguero, I think I've kind of got to get rid. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of problems with my team now, really. TAA got 2, Soyuncu 2, Son benched. Aguero's 12.2 million, Son's 9.8 million. That's over 20 million that got a point for me. I mean, it's just, I've got to pick nailed on players now. I've got to pick nailed on players because it's too much of a risk. You can't have that much money in your team and there being a risk of being benched, despite Aguero being the second highest scorer in the game with 61. It's just, when he scores 0 in a week, I just can't be bothered with that. Abraham, captain fail. Sterling got 5. Yeah, it was just Pookie got 1. Pope got 1. It was a really poor week. I got 33 points and I'm down to 386,000. I mean, overall, apart from Pookie and Cantwell, I like the look of my team. My team looks great on paper, but they're just not delivering. And I think that is the case with a lot of players right now. There's nobody's having incredible game weeks, are they, at the moment, community anyway, and the people that we speak to. So maybe it's just a case of staying patient, but we'll discuss my possible moves later.
I mean, I think it is. We were talking about goals that were ruled out and how close players came to score and that sort of thing. Like De Bruyne hit the post, Mount forced an absolute worldie out of the Newcastle goalkeeper. I think Abraham missed an absolute sitter from 2 yards out as well.
And he hit the bar.
Disallowed as well. Like, it was just all these players who I had in my team just kept missing chance after chance after chance. It's just one of those weekends. I think stick with the players. These are the players you've got in your team now will still be up there towards the end of the season. It's just a matter of time and playing that waiting game, and eventually they'll deliver. That's what I like to believe anyway.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you. I think there's no point ripping up your team trying to chase points, because the points aren't really coming from anywhere at the moment, are they? I mean, we said one of our talking points is differentials this week because it was the weekend of the differential. So, yeah, I think it is just a case of trying your absolute best to stay patient. And to be honest, if someone had said to me at the start of the season, after 9 game weeks, I'll give you top 500K, I'd have probably took that, to be honest. So yeah. I'm not overly upset. And there's it's 29 game weeks to go. There's so much time to climb the rankings. So I would say, even if you're in the top million, don't panic. Stick with the players that you think are going to be there or thereabouts at the end of the season. Go with form. Good fixtures doesn't necessarily mean that players are going to perform. I mean, you just look at Pookie for that evidence.
Yeah, looking at that thing, weren't we, on Twitter, where there was that fella who was in his family chat, and just for a laugh, they decided to add the family cat into the fantasy football league. And for this cat, obviously the cat's not going to pick his team, so they just pick an automated team. And the cat is, what, on 532 points or something like that?
It's yeah, top. I think he's 26K in the world.
Yeah, he's like the best player in Burkina Faso or something like that. It's a cat that's auto-picking its team every week, which just goes to show how unpredictable the Premier League is this season.
Yeah, yeah. My zombie team, which I picked for the Who Got the Assist League, where you pick a team at the start of the season, you pick your captain, and then you're not allowed to touch it for the rest of the season. And it's very close to my actual team now. I think it's about 400. I think we're about 400K in the world. So, yeah, which I'm sure I'll discuss with the boys. I'm going on to the Who Got the Assist podcast in the next few weeks, and they're gonna come across on ours as well. So look forward to that.
Brill. All right, should we move on to our first talking point? Chelsea pick and mix.
Follow Triple Captain on Twitter and Instagram at Triple Captain 3.
So this week for me, I played the wild card and brought in three Chelsea players. I think most people would have three Liverpool players or three Manchester City players. But I've just gone for Chelsea just because they've got so many attacking options. And we saw in the game against Newcastle, they were all threatening. None of them got a goal, unfortunately. But the three that I brought in, Hudson-Odoi, Mount and Abraham, I think they're three players you've got to have in your team. But in my head, I just can't justify having three Chelsea players. I don't know why. It just seems weird. I feel like I should have three Manchester City or three Liverpool. So I might go down to two Chelsea players. But I'm not sure, out of those three, Abraham, Mount and Hudson-Odoi, on who to drop. If you and me, Luke, who would you drop?
I mean, that's a tough one. I think right now I would drop Mason Mount on the evidence of the game against Newcastle, where he had his chance, but I think Hudson-Odoi was the best player on the pitch. I think everything went through him. They featured him on Match of the Day, and obviously he got his assist for the Marcus Alonso goal, who I called as the best defensive option for this game week on the little video that we did. So I mean, I don't like to pat myself on the back, but I do like to pat myself on the back. I'd be interested to see how long Emerson is out for, because I think Alonso could be a good option, and I think triple Chelsea is a good option, but maybe I'd have one defender in there as well. Okay. I've got Tomori, who's starting every game. I think he's 4.6 or 4.7 now. And they look all right at the back. I mean, obviously they were against Newcastle, who had zero shots on target in the whole game. But they've got Burnley, Watford, Crystal Palace, City, then West Ham, Villa, Everton, Bournemouth. So all good fixtures. So you could see the odd clean sheet in there. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be rushing to bring in Marcus Alonso because of Emerson, but it'd be good to know how long Emerson's out for. But out of those, I'd keep Hudson-Odoi, and I'm really interested in him. And I also like Willian. I think he looked good.
Yeah, I mean, start of the season, I would never have considered Willian, because I think he's always one of those players who's not really lived up to the hype. But at the moment, it's like you said, just before this feature earlier in the podcast, pick your players on the form, and Willian seems to be one of these players who's just coming to the crest of a wave in his form, so he could well be one to get in. But would you pick him over Hudson-Odoi and Mount? It'd be a brave man who does that. I mean, I'm just having a look at Mount now. But Hudson-Odoi came back against Southampton, I think it was, and since Hudson-Odoi's came back, Mason Mount's been subbed off twice. He hadn't been subbed for the first seven games of the season, and in the last two game weeks he's been subbed off. So I don't know whether that's because, you know, he has more belief in Hudson-Odoi of having an impact on the game than Mason Mount does, or whether it's just a change in tactics. But I think now that Hudson-Odoi's back, this could be a drop in like Chelsea's attacking play through Mason Mount. I feel like more of it will come through Hudson-Odoi now more than through Mason Mount. So I have to agree with that. I think he'd be the one I'd consider dropping, but he's still such a player that I can't drop just for his price and because he's selected by 37% of players in this game. So yeah, it's still a tough one to call, really.
Yeah, I think you just asked, didn't you, if you'd get rid of Abraham. I don't think I would right now. I think he has been unlucky the last few games. I mean, he scored against Southampton, didn't he? But he hit the bar against Newcastle. He missed a sitter. He had another header from a corner, which was just over. I think he's the still the most likely goal scorer for Chelsea and will get the most chances. So I definitely wouldn't be looking to get rid of Abraham, particularly as his ownership is, you know, 44.9%. That's a lot. And so if he scores, you're looking at a rank hit. So I think best to keep him in. And I think, to be honest, having Mount, Hudson-Odoi and Abraham will be a bit of a differential at the moment. And there's not going to be many people that have all three of them. And with their fixtures, I think sit on them all for a bit. Chelsea still looked good against Newcastle. They had 16 shots, 8 on target. On another day, they'd have scored 3 or 4 goals. So I wouldn't worry too much about the lack of goals there. But yeah, for me, Hudson-Odoi is the man. I'd like to get him in, particularly if I could move out someone like Cantwell for Hudson-Odoi. Yeah. The team suddenly looks so much stronger.
I mean, there's only 2.6% of players have selected on him as well at the moment, so he's still technically a differential, even though he's been involved so heavily in the past few games for Chelsea there.
Yeah, great. So, yeah, I think from that is take your pick from Chelsea, but we like Hudson-Odoi would be our number one choice. We like Mason Mount and Willian as an extreme differential. I've just had a look actually at Emerson and Alonso, and Emerson is back fit, but apparently Lampard doesn't want to rush him back. So I think Alonso is probably too much of a risk right now, unless you see in the next, you know, if he starts the next 3-4 games, you're like, okay, he's nailed on now. But I think at the moment he's still too much of a rotation risk. So I'd stick with Tomori or maybe even Azpilicueta, but I think he's perhaps a little bit too expensive. But we like Chelsea.
Join the Triple Captain Mini League. League code JLM166.
All right, well, let's now move on to point two. Differentials. Is that too enthusiastic?
Great.
I'm not usually that enthusiastic.
It's good to be enthusiastic, Rich. Good. So, yeah, differentials. So, let's talk a little bit about players that made an impact this weekend that are kind of under 10%, 5% owned, and players we might be looking at for the next few game weeks. We've already spoke about Callum Hudson-Odoi, who is still under 5% owned. Who are you looking at, Rich, for the next few weeks? Because obviously, as FPL is so unpredictable right now, might be a good tactic to get someone in who's going to cause a surprise.
It's so hard to judge, isn't it? But I mean, last weekend against Palace, it was all about David Silva. Now, he's owned by 10.9%, which, you know, is a reasonable amount of ownership. But looking at the top players for midfielders in the game at the moment, you've got De Bruyne, who's 10.1, Mane, 11.8, Salah, 12.4, Sterling, 12.1, and then nearly 5 million less than Sterling is David Silva at 7.6. And he's done it in the Premier League for, what, 10 years now, something like that. He's so incredible. But for Manchester City, with the whole rotation thing, it's impossible to see when he's going to start every game. I mean, just looking at his record this season, he's only completed 90 minutes twice. But he has started quite a lot of games, and he's still managed to score double figures on 4 occasions out of the 9 game weeks so far. Whether he can do that again next weekend against Villa, I think it'll be the perfect sort of game for him, because presumably Villa are going to sit tight and try and spring a counter-attack on Manchester City like every team that visit the Etihad go and do, whereas Manchester City are just going to have to be patient and try and pick their way through the backbones of Aston Villa. And I think David Silva's the perfect kind of player who just weighs up patience and skill, waiting to find that breakthrough pass. So I think that David Silva could be in a sneaky little one to get in for next weekend. What do you reckon about David?
Yeah, I think he's a good option. He's the best value midfielder in the game right now, with 51 points, just ahead of Mason Mount on 49. And yeah, he started every game apart from 2 this season. But yeah, as you say, very rarely completes 90. But when he has, yeah, he's got 4 double-figure scores so far. Kind of when he does score or assist, he tends to get another one, or he looked fantastic that goal against Palace. The pass from Sterling and the volley from Silva was just so good to watch. So yeah, I think he's a good option, as are, you know, any of those players from Man City. You've just got to be aware that he will get benched now and again. So if you can ride those times out, and if you've got a strong first sub, then you can't, well, no, actually, I say that, even if you have got a strong first sub, David Silva hasn't not come on. If he's been benched, he's always come on. So yeah, it's unlikely that you're going to get your first sub to come on. So if you can ride out those one pointers, then he might be worth having. At 7.6 million, that's a nice price. I think I prefer Mason Mount, though, because he's much more nailed on to start. And I've just been hit so many times with this Pep roulette this season. We've just seen the City lineup for the Champions League, haven't we? And David Silva is on the bench, so you'd fully expect him to start against Villa. But then are you playing the game week to week, or are you playing it more long term? And I think long term, right now, I prefer Mason Mount. But then, yeah, he could be a good option. What about Richarlison for Everton? Now, he was playing up front against West Ham. I thought they were massively improved. They had 10 shots on target, 19 shots on goal, decent XG, 2.09. Richarlison got an assist. I think he hit the post. He had some good opportunities. He's only selected by 6.7%. Yeah. What do you reckon to him?
Yeah, we looked good. Like, it was quite surprising. But yeah, Richarlison played through the middle for a little while last season. And I think he got like 3 goals on the bounce or something like that. And then eventually the goals dried up and we shifted him back out wide again. But I think what helped Everton mostly was that they dropped Sigurdsson. And I've seen Sigurdsson be really poor over the first eight game weeks. And he was dropped for the game against West Ham. We brought in Gomez, Davis, and I think Iwobi played just behind Richarlison. And there just seemed to be so much more energy about the team. They played like more of a team. Even Walcott had a good game, which is something I haven't said in about 2 years. So it was nice to see him do well. But yeah, Richarlison up front, he could be one of them, because he's classed as a midfielder on this, right? So I think if he's going to be starting up front for us, he's the most natural finisher in our team, even though we've just spent nearly 30 million on this Italian lad, Keane. But yeah, Richarlison is by far and away the most natural finisher. He plays through there for Brazil. So, he could definitely be a strong choice for a differential. How much does he cost? He's only 7.9, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, 7.9. So, I mean, you look at the players around him, like Mahrez is 8.7. That's a bit too much for Mahrez. I think Richarlison offers a bit more value, even though Mahrez has got more points at the moment. But yeah, we look much more improved. And if Everton improve, Richarlison tends to improve, as with Luca Dean. So I know he was probably one of the first choice selections for defenders, but I don't think he's delivered much at all in recent weeks. But clean sheet of the weekend could be the start of the comeback for Luca Dean. So if there was two Everton players to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I was looking briefly at Villa assets. I thought they were really impressive against Brighton. They had 24 shots on goal, 8 on target. And I've just looked at their fixtures. They've got City away, then Liverpool at home, then Wolves away, then Newcastle at home, then United away, then Chelsea away. So I will be staying well away from Jack Grealish and the like.
But, I mean, you never know with the teams that come up from the Championship. They often, like, spring a surprise. I mean, we saw last night how Sheffield United beat Arsenal, and Sheffield United looked so, so comfortable. So you never know. In the last game at the Etihad, Wolves got a smash and grab against Manchester City. So why couldn't Aston Villa do it? You know, Jack Grealish looks like one of those players who will cause mayhem for any defence. I mean, the best person to ask about any Villa questions is surely background Ben. Ben, do you reckon Villa are going to get anything at the Etihad?
I don't think they will at the Etihad. I think potentially against Liverpool. One thing I would say about Jack Grealish, so obviously right from the beginning, I've been backing John McGinn. The last few weeks, he's been quiet. What I say about that is that the way that Smith's playing Villa now, Grealish has got a lot more room and he's playing more up front, which means that McGinn has to sit back a little bit more. So I think from an FPL perspective, from a kind of team play and watching the Villa play perspective, I think it's working really well and I'm loving it. But from an FPL perspective, I think we might see McGinn start to drop off now and Grealish getting more of those Villa points.
Okay. Because, I mean, Hudson-Odoi is only, I think, 0.1 more than John McGinn now. So, but yeah, any other players stand out for you as a differential?
Dwight McNeil of Burnley is 0.4% owned.
Really?
He's 6 million. Their next few fixtures, they've got Chelsea at home, which is tough, obviously. Then they've got Sheffield United, West Ham, Watford and Crystal Palace. I think if you wanted to go for a really low-owned player, Dwight McNeil is a decent option. He pops up with an assist. I mean, looking at his scores, they don't really set my world on fire, but he looks good, and he's always good for an assist.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's like the only out-and-out winger that Burnley have, really, isn't he? They don't have any other player like him. They have Lennon on the other side, but he's nothing like the player that McNeil is. Like, McNeil's actually a bit tricky. He's probably the trickiest player at Burnley. And if there's anyone who can beat a man on the wings at Burnley, it would be him. I'm quite interested in Leicester, though. We saw Barnes at the weekend for Leicester pop up with a couple of assists. Has he just had a good week? Or do you reckon he could be someone for the next couple of weeks for Leicester? Because we know how good their fixtures are.
I think he's just had a good week, to be honest. He's not reliable for a start. He's not reliable for 90. He's certainly not reliable for 90 minutes. He's not played 90 minutes all season. And it's kind of dotted around, or, you know, 26 minutes, 22 minutes, 57 minutes, 45 minutes. You don't want that dreaded 1 point from someone who is who is 5.9 million, particularly when we've been discussing Grealish, McGinn, Hudson-Odoi, you know, all these players around that price point. I don't think Barnes is reliable enough. I think there's much better Leicester options.
Yeah, it'd
be a big risk.
Jamie Vardy delivering after I said that he wouldn't because he's had an earful from his missus, but he's proved me wrong and he scored an absolute worldie of a header. So fair play to you, Jamie Vardy. Well done.
Yeah, he only needs a couple of chances, doesn't he? And he'll put them away. I think a few people have been writing Vardy off this season by saying his underlying stats aren't great. And I think I was one of those people. But actually, he's one of the most clinical strikers in the Premier League. Yeah. So sometimes those stats go out the window because at the end of the day, if he's one-on-one, he's probably going to put it away. So I'm really, really excited about Vardy. And I'm thinking about bringing him in for Aguero this week.
Really?
Just because, I mean, which probably brings us on nicely actually to talking point three, which is strikers and what to do with Kane and Aguero if you own them.
Triple Captain. Email your voice note questions to triplecaptain@soundrebel.co.uk.
So yeah, talking point three is strikers. A few more options have come to the fore in recent weeks. Do we still go with three up top, and what to do with Kane and Aguero if you own them? Now, I own Aguero, and as discussed, it's just been agonising the last few weeks for me with Aguero. I think he's only started one of the last three games.
Yeah,
he has. I mean, he'd started the previous kind of five, but I think that was when Jesus was injured. I think Pep's been desperate to bring Jesus in for a long time, and now they really are sharing the minutes. I mean, Aguero started tonight in the Champions League, which doesn't fill me with confidence for the weekend. He didn't start against Everton. He didn't start against Palace. He only got the 2 points against Wolves. His accuracy hasn't been great the last kind of 4 or 5 weeks. He's been having lots of shots, but not getting them in the back of the net. No. And yeah, I've kind of reached the end of my patience with it. I want a player who is going to start every single game, and Aguero, unfortunately, is not that player anymore.
No.
I don't really want to take the rough with the smooth.
No, what about the strikers you've got alongside him? Who have you got playing up front? Presumably you're playing a front three, right?
Yes, I've got Abraham and Pukki, and I'm happy with Abraham, but I'm not happy with Pukki. I mean, they showed these stats on Match of the Day that in his first five games, Pukki scored 6 goals, 2 assists, his shots per game 3.4, his shots on target per game were 2.4, his average touches in the box were 5.4, and in the last 4 games, no goals, no assists, shots per game 2.25, shots on target only 1 per game, but his average touches in the box were 8.25. So he's still getting chances and getting in the right positions, but he's not having as many shots.
That's the sign of a good striker who's just not playing with the team around him. So if you put maybe him in, say, Tottenham or something like that, he'll have better players finding him in the space in the penalty area, making it a little bit more easier for him to get a shot away at goal. But I think because of the players alongside him at Norwich, who, let's be honest, not many of them have Premier League experience, most of them are Championship players, that's where the stumbling block has fell around him. And I think maybe players have got a lot more used to him in the Premier League now. But yeah, we said a few weeks ago about the Pukki party being over. I think it's almost definitely over now.
Yeah, they started so well, didn't they? And it just seems like they've really dropped off. I think they only had one shot on target against Bournemouth. Yeah, in a game that we thought was going to be a goal fest, just turned out to be terrible. So yeah, he's had four games now, and he scored 6 points in the last four games. So
it's not ideal, is it?
No, I mean, they've got United next, who look a lot better. Then they've got Brighton away, Watford at home, Everton away, Arsenal at home. Not the most tantalising of fixtures. So I just don't know whether to sit on Pookie or not. It's whether I move him out or move Aguero out. But then I've got Son as well that probably needs to go. So, I mean, there's lots to think about there. What about Jimenez at Wolves?
Yeah, I was intrigued by Jimenez. I mean, we saw in the absolutely mental game before between Wolves and Southampton how VAR can impact a game, because the first one I think was brought up for handball against Jimenez, which was definitely a handball, and then the next one was offside against, I think it was Catrona, who was playing up front alongside him. But he was just rather unlucky there, Jimenez, on that occasion, and then obviously he got his goal from the penalty spot. But he's been, I think he's got 8 goals this season in all competitions for Wolves. He's doing really well. Obviously, they started off the season in like July in the Europa League in, I think it was the Faroe Islands or somewhere like that they went, somewhere absolutely mental. So he's having a good goal-scoring season, Jimenez. He's just not done as much in the Premier League as you would have hoped. But he's starting every game. He's playing 90 minutes most weeks. And I feel again like, yeah, he could be a great choice for a differential. Against Southampton, he got his goal 2 weeks before that against Manchester City. He got both assists against Adama Traore's goals. And I just like him as a footballer. He holds it up. He runs in behind as well. He seems to be able to do it all. I'm just a bit worried about Wolves maybe having a little bit of burnout, especially if they manage to get a cup run on the go. The big test for Wolves, though, will be around Christmas time, when I think Premier League teams have, I think it's 6 or 7 fixtures in December. So that'll be when we really get to see what metal Wolves are made of. But yeah, Jimenez, he looks a real decent player to have in your team. And I think at the price as well, 7.1 million. It could be a toss-up in the air between him and Callum Wilson, in my opinion. Maybe a couple of strikers you could, you know, jump in between each week.
It's just the attacking stats from Wolves that put me off. They only had one shot on target, 4 shots on goal. But then when they do get a chance, it's likely to be Jimenez. He's the main man, isn't he? He starts every game. So yeah. I think at the moment he's probably a better option than Pookie, considering form and Wolves' fixtures going forward aren't too bad.
Newcastle this weekend, that's like the perfect kind of game for Jimenez to get one or two in, isn't it? Against society, you know, a bit wobbly.
Yeah, although Newcastle are at home, they tend to be a lot better defensively at home. And with Wolves' attacking stats, that doesn't bode too well. But yeah, chances are you'll probably go and score 3 now. I've said that the way things are going this season. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, what about the fella at Southampton who I think's now got 4 in 4? Danny Ings. He could be one of the surprises of the season in terms of value. He's only 5.9, and he is honestly the only man who looks like he's going to score a goal for Southampton. He just seems to be one of those players who just gets like the odd toe poke, latches onto like a mistake at the back, that sort of thing. Like, he's a very instinctive finisher. But yeah, Danny Ings, I think he might be one to consider in the future, because he's 2 million less than Callum Wilson, and I don't think there's too much points difference between them. No, Callum Wilson's got 50. And Danny Ings has got 42. So, you know, there's not too much difference there. And you're saving 2 million as well. So, yeah, Danny Ings could be one to consider. And they are playing Leicester this weekend, which, you know, could be a game where he probably won't score. But, you know, it's a chance you've got to take.
Follow Triple Captain on Twitter and Instagram at TripleCaptain3.
That's about it for game week 10. Best of luck. Please remember to subscribe, rate and review so more people get to hear our wonderful voices on your podcast app. And remember, please follow us if you can at TripleCaptain3 on Instagram and Twitter. And we've not had one for a while, but we're still taking voice notes. TripleCaptain@soundrebel.co.uk. Please send us one of those if you can. We'll answer any questions that you send our way on Twitter or over email. But yeah, that's it. Game week 10. Is just around the corner. Best of luck.
You've been listening to Triple Captain from Sound Rebel, and we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please subscribe on your chosen podcast app. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please rate and review us to help more people discover this podcast. and follow at TripleCaptain3 on Instagram and Twitter. Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.